Hello.
If video gaming is a journey, then anywhere has to include a stop right here in LA during E3 on Nintendo Switch.
At Ubisoft, thank you for your incredible imagination and enthusiasm.
Welcome to EA Play 2017, coming to you from the Hollywood Palladium.
This is your 2017 PlayStation Showcase. Thank you for coming back.
This is the 2017 Xbox E3 Briefing.
Welcome to the Bethesda E3 Showcase.
This is the PC Gaming Show 2017.
I hope you are ready, Devolver Digital fans, for the future of video games and the future. Tomorrow's unethical business practices today.
And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, June 17th, 2017. It's Season 11, Episode 23. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
Coming in by the skin of his teeth on that one, Matt. Yep. Just walked in the door during the intro. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out InGameChat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook at In-Game Chat as well. You can also email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. And, of course, if you need any more of that, just go to our website, InGameChat.net, and find all the links to get in touch with us. We're streaming right now on Twitch. It's twitch.tv. Go there, type in In-Game Chat in the little search bar, and then you'll find us right there. You can watch the show live while we broadcast. You can also join in the chat room and chat it up with everybody who is in there. We're in there as well, and we try to pay attention to the chat room as much as we can while doing the broadcast. We try not to pay attention too much to Lethal Migraine, but we still have him in there, and we love him. We're glad he's there. I was just kidding about that, Lethal Migraine. I'm not...
It's on now.
But, he's got his preferences. He's got his things about what he says, and right now he's going over everybody's thing. I expect him to say that... Oh, well, no. This is interesting.
Yeah.
He says that Xbox was the most boring, uninspired, disappointing E3 press conference in Xbox history.
Shyamalan twist right there.
Is the troll trolling us? He's not a troll. I don't believe he feels that way. Well, maybe I do.
Because, I mean, what do they really... get into it.
Yeah, if he ever wants to call in, he could. Yeah. I remember that... and really, that's...
What do they really show?
What we should really kick off with... Is
The name.
We got done with EA's the day before, and we talked about that. And then Microsoft was next, and Bethesda was after that.
Yeah.
Microsoft came out, and of course, the big thing with Microsoft is the Xbox One X, the Scorpio. That was a big.
I'd rather have the name Scorpio because Xbox One X is just.
I feel like we're at a Wii U position.
Yeah.
Like that might be a little bit of confusion. I doubt it because the price points are. Miraculously different.
Okay, we were off on that.
Everybody was off on that.
We were thinking like 400, 450 at their Friday.
Lethal Migraine in the chat room was off on that. He was hoping for I think around the price range that we were hoping for.
Yeah.
He never even guessed for
400 would be all right. I could see that.
I thought 500 was like the worst price they could do. Anything 500 and above was like the worst price because they did that before. They did that when they launched the original Xbox One.
Yeah.
That came with a Kinect.
And then they're like, you know what?
And Sony beat them to the punch on price for the system, and everybody went that way. I don't necessarily know that was the reason that Sony took the lead in sales. It is one of the reasons. I think the games were just there for the Sony system that people wanted to play, I guess. And price obviously is a factor. Price is always a factor in these things, but $500 I thought was the wrong price on
Ridiculous.
This thing. I thought that you're going to... Nobody has been successful launching a $500 console.
No.
That I can remember.
I mean, going back to even like the Philips CDI, that was outrageously overpriced.
Well, the best one you can go back to is the PlayStation
Saturn,
3.
PlayStation 3.
They launched that at... Was it 800 and 600, or was it 600 and 400?
I know it was selling for eBay for that one. Yeah,
the two SKUs that they had, whenever they originally launched,
right?
They had a 60 gig hard drive and a 40 gig hard drive, or am I wrong? I think I'm wrong. Maybe it was 60/20.
Let's see. PS3, right?
Yeah. Go back to the original when they launched it.
Okay.
Because they made a number of SKUs after the release.
Let's see. Yeah. The PS3 with the 20 gig hard drive will cost consumers $4.99. Those wanting a larger 60 gig will pay $5.99. The $4.99 version will also lack several features found in the more expensive one. The PS3 will be $200 higher than the launch price of the PS2 6 years ago. So yeah,
$500 for a 20 gig hard drive.
Right.
And what was the next price?
$600.
Was it six? Was it $5.99 or
$6.99?
Yeah. No, $5.99. So I'm saying $600. I don't like $99. $600. Yeah, $600.
And you know what? 60 gig. They got their pants beat off of them. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Rightfully so for that. That was terrible.
Like I said before, that one was a Saturn. $500 for that one when that first came out.
Yep.
No one has survived or been successful, I should say. Survival is different. Sony survived. But no one's been successful.
Dreamcast survived.
With a $500 console out of the gate or higher.
No.
Yeah, Dreamcast was $500 at launch.
Was it?
I don't think so.
No, but I mean, Sega at least, was able to do one more.
And I remember end of console wars, Sega, when they released Saturn. That was the start of the downfall when they released the Saturn early and killed the Genesis a year earlier than they wanted to. Sega of America wanted to.
The 3DO was $700.
Yeah.
Which is, back then.
Yeah.
You know.
Neo Geos. Those were ridiculously crazy. Expensive. Yeah. Cartridges the size of a VHS VHS tape.
The $500 and Jeff Keighley kind of leaked that ahead of time. I was just like, uh-oh, looks like it's going to be $500. I thought maybe they were, I started buying into the conspiracy theories, like, oh, maybe they leaked it so that they can come out and say, oh, no, it's $400. Ah, see, it's not, you know, that bad.
You oversell it, and then, like, you come in underneath, and,
They did not do any of that. They went straight for $500 on this thing.
And then, again, the name, Xbox One X.
At this point, when you throw out that price, it doesn't matter what you call it.
Yeah.
It's too expensive. That's what you call it.
Yeah.
By the way, Dreamcast launched at $199 on September 9th of 99.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
$500. $500 for an Xbox One X.
Sticker shock. Sticker shock on
you
that.
You still can't pre-order it just yet. Apparently the FCC has to approve it. It has not been approved. It will get approved. I'm not saying there's any doubt there. It will get approved and people will pre-order it. But I don't know. And
maybe if you don't have, if you skip the Xbox One generation completely, you know, maybe. But I mean, still, you could come in with an S. And
exactly. I can't justify that. I can't justify that. Hey, if you
4K,
I can't even justify it 4K. If you're going from an Xbox One, skipping the S and going to an X. I can't even justify that. I mean, there's a massive difference in what you're getting. But why, when you can get the Xbox One S for half?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Half of what's the One X cost.
You can buy two of them.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the comments in the chat room. Migraine, when he says you can't justify a $500 tag when you have no AAA exclusives.
Yeah.
None at all for the system. Right, so no justification in that. Yeah.
Well, now, it depends on what you decide as a AAA exclusive. Forza 7 may not be a AAA exclusive to him, but I think the company looks at that as a AAA exclusive franchise. Mm-hmm. The thing is that you can play everything that they released that we can tell, and I haven't done my research on this, but from everything that I have looked into where I've had question about it, Xbox's press conference was a little bit confusing because of everything they threw up in the bottom of the screen saying it is a exclusive timed thing,
exclusive.
Or console exclusive
a bunch
thing.
Of timed indies.
There was a lot of stuff in there telling you about where is this just coming out. I can tell you this. It didn't look like they had anything that was exclusive to that box.
No.
Nothing that said, this system is the only
Xbox
system you can play
One
it on.
X only. Yeah, no.
Yeah, it looked like everything was going to be PC and X. And
PC, Xbox One S, and X.
They've said that there's not going to be an exclusive to the X. They've already said that. Anything that they release will be able to be played on an Xbox One, a One S, or a One X.
And most likely PC.
And now PC as well. But so they're not going to have any exclusive to the system itself.
So the point of the system would be...
By the system, I mean the One X.
Yeah.
They could still have a console exclusive and say that this is only going to be here. And that could be the case with some third-party developers.
Mm.
But first-party, it looks like... PC and
all out.
It's PC and console.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that they can. I mean, they can claim it as their own, I guess, but you don't have to buy one of their big machines to play it on. So.
Do we,
I don't know. What?
Do we want to talk about the actual presentation?
We can get into the presentation. I'm so glad your top was on there.
No. To me, like one of the most groaningly bad parts was the Darwin. Was it Darwin Project?
Darwin Project that had the esports guy.
Oh my goodness! When he came out and was like narrating an esports, talk, I was just like, just mute, just turn this off. It was so bad that made me like lose interest in the game. It had the negative effect. I wasn't thinking, wow, this might be an esports fun. I was thinking, like, I do not want to play this now.
That's the only thing people remember Darwin Project for would be that. And even then, they don't remember that it was Darwin Project. All they remember is that there was a guy screaming esports.
Yeah.
At
your face. And so much soccer, again. When? Or is that... maybe I'm thinking the one before.
EA was the soccer. Yeah.
It all runs together.
No, Microsoft had...
Do they have the State of Decay 2?
Microsoft had State of Decay 2, which, again, is not going to sell a system when you can play it on your PC.
Yeah. Well, none of those are going to sell me the system because I can play it on the PC.
Right. And even if it sold you on the system, there's that really sweet little $250 number called the Xbox One S.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And also, there's a history here, and I want to remind everyone that sees these consoles and sees these prices, and I will continue to remind you about these things as we get closer and closer to the holiday season when, kids are coming up to you asking you to buy a new console for you, or somebody's pushing you to get an Xbox One X for $500. Take it from someone who bought an Xbox One for $500 with a Kinect. Don't do it. Hold off. These things will drop in price, and they will drop in price fast.
Quickly.
They've done it before, and they will do it again when these things don't sell.
I'm assuming you could still buy original Xbox Ones.
Xbox, it's getting tougher.
But, I mean, is it lower than $250?
It's $200.
Okay.
Yeah. $199, yeah.
It's like $199 for an Xbox One if you want that, but man, why not throw in the...
Yeah, extra $50?
Let me tell you. let's strip away the fact that it plays games. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about a 4K Blu-ray player, which is what an Xbox One S has in it.
Mm-hmm.
For $50 extra, that's worth the upgrade, even if you don't have a 4K TV.
Eventually, someday.
It's a nice little future proof for yourself. The standalone Blu-ray player that is 4K enabled, last I checked, and it's been a while, it was a Samsung produced player, and it was like $300.
Yeah.
You can get it cheaper on an Xbox One S.
And
there's deals that happen around, especially around Black Friday. You're going to see Xbox One S's going for probably $50 less, so at $200.
Yeah.
And I encourage anybody who's jumping into the Xbox world, go for an Xbox One S. Just do it. I mean, it's faster. It's better than an Xbox One. It may cost you $50 extra, but it's kind of worth it in the end, I think, to just start at that level. I think you'll be fine. But,
so at this point, do we need the X?
The Xbox One X?
Would you think, is that something that we need?
It's going to sell. People are going to want the new thing. People will want the new thing. It's the same reason that, look at graphics cards that gets released at $1,000-some-odd for a graphics card. And you're like, wow, that's a lot of money, but there are people willing to pay.
Yeah.
They want that. And these are people who are upgrading from just one model lower.
Yeah.
These are just enthusiasts who want to do that. And I think there are enthusiasts who want to have an Xbox One X. I honestly can't wait to see the sales numbers. Not because I'm hoping for bad.
Yeah.
I just can't wait to see exactly how this plays out in the consumer territory.
Because I can't imagine it playing out well.
I don't see it happening. I do not see it happening.
I mean, we might be surprised. We were surprised by the sticker price. So
what does Multal say? Are Microsoft banking that the Xbox device will be a good 4K Blu-ray player like what the PS3 did last generation? The Xbox One X? No, man. The Xbox One S. And this is going to be another trouble. You're stupid. S and X over a phone.
Yeah.
Over any kind of, unless you're in front of someone. And even then.
They're saying both together.
They're very, very close.
You get a little tongue tied on that.
So are they banking on that being a good 4K Blu-ray player? Nah. They shouldn't be because
it's more expensive than a 4K Blu-ray.
Because they're Xbox One X, yes.
Yeah, see? Boom, there.
I'm just going to start doing it Scorpio. S and X. The S is a good 4K Blu-ray player for $250. Samsung's standalone Blu-ray player is a good one for $300, and that's still cheaper than your X.
Is it true 4K or is it upscale? Or
what?
The player.
The Samsung?
No, the Xbox.
The Xbox S?
Yes.
Yeah, the S is a true 4K Blu-ray player. Yeah. It does play Blu-rays in 4K. Well, it plays 4K Blu-rays in 4K. Yes. I don't know that it does any upscaling.
Okay, I didn't know.
I'm not sure about that.
I did not look at the specs for it.
I really haven't either. It's one
maybe
of those...
now that might be, like, if I do get the Xbox, that'll be the one.
You should. If you're going to jump into the Xbox, go for the S, man.
Eventually.
Just go for it.
I mean, I don't play my PS4 enough. You know, I'm still waiting for like Ace Combat. I'll probably get Ace Combat 7 on the PlayStation.
Is it console only or does it have?
It should be on the PC as well.
Yeah, but console only. Does it have VR capabilities? Yeah.
And like, you know, so
like cockpit view, man.
You know, yes, it is an arcadey. It's not a true flight sim, but still, you know, whatever. I like an arcade sim just as much. Mm. You know, just fun. And then, you know, also, you know, Battlefront, you know, too. You know, I'm sure. I'm really hoping that they do another VR mission, if not more than just
got nothing
one.
Out of that. I mean, even during Sony's press conference when they showed off VR stuff, we never got anything for Battlefront 2 for anything under the Star Wars thing. So
yeah, but I mean, there's still time.
But you know, we might get something later on. They didn't, you know, we didn't get anything out of the VR mission stuff until it was about a year later when the PSVR launched.
Yeah.
So, you know, that game went without any kind of VR support for a whole year until the VR launched. And they're like, yeah, here's some VR missions for you to play. So, yeah, the Xbox One X was their big reveal. And I've been to a few of these when Forza likes to reveal a car on stage.
Yeah, all right, sure.
I don't understand it either, other than maybe to get themselves some wider publicity from other places.
Oh, look, a Porsche was revealed.
Well, you know,
all right,
Road and Track will probably cover something like that. You know, any kind of other, a Car and Driver. I don't even know what magazines exist anymore. As far as
Track and Field, I don't know.
And while I understand you might be thinking, well, is that an audience that plays video games? Probably not, but it gets them some publicity that they wouldn't have had they not had the car in there.
Because maybe that audience has kids that plays video games.
Man, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? People who, and for the fact that you could actually drive that car in a simulation thing and only pay, you know, ever how much money it is to $250 plus the game to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll sell some systems for them. I don't know what the thinking on that is. Maybe there's a deal that they have in place with Porsche and said, look, if you want to use our car in your game, you've got to show our car on your stage or something. I really don't know. I don't know how those things work. I don't understand why they think it's a thing that should be
done.
Well, at least focused on for the length of time that it's focused on.
Yeah.
Show the car, but don't spend all that time on it.
And the 911 has such a distinctive profile. I don't know.
Not really. 911s look like every other 911.
Yeah,
honestly.
That's what I mean. Yeah. They have their profiles are so distinctive that you can like look at it and you're like, yep, that's a 911.
Yeah, and
like
so
all the other ones I've seen.
I was there for another one that they revealed. They had it lower from the. It lowered. I think they've had one that came up, and then they had another one that lowered. I've seen.
Yeah, and then,
I've seen plenty of cars at my.
Unless you're doing donuts
time.
On the stage, woo, you know.
It was not.
let's just lower this car and then raise it back up. Okay.
That was not impressive. I did feel that they did better than EA as far as going through the motions because they didn't have anybody stumbling and didn't have so many little hiccups
and
things.
Let's get the YouTube personality that's not used to this up on
stage. I'm not saying they didn't have anything cringeworthy because they did.
Oh, yeah, they did.
But
the Battlefront 2 when the lady that plays Inferno Squad just came out. That was pretty.
Oh, we talked about that. You know, we talked about that last week.
Pretty cringeworthy.
Remember, EA happened before our show last weekend, so we went over everything that
I'm
we
still
saw.
Still reeling from it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of more from Microsoft. We got to see Crackdown 3.
Yeah, Terry Crews. I would play the Terry Crews simulator.
That's come under a lot of scrutiny now because people noticed that the environments were not destructive anymore, and. Somebody had, because they were pushing for that whenever they had shown it off before, they said, you know, all these, you know, the environments are all destructible and it's all part of the cloud. It's going to use a lot of cloud features to.
That sounds like just like that marketing, you know, talk. Just talk about synergy and, you know, just throw buzzwords. It uses the cloud.
Well, they said they were going to use the cloud to. That's how they were going to get the performance out of the game by using the cloud to do it with. And you're going to have destructible environments and all this other stuff. And they kept promoting that for about 2 years. And then this year we finally get a release date and more of the game. Not much more. Not as much as you should have had if your game releases in November. But
and not so much?
No, the destructible environment's completely gone. And somebody interviewed about them, was talking to them about it. And, of course, they did a PR spin on it saying that, you know... no, it's not going to be doing that. We think that players want to, and they went on this shtick about what they think players are going to enjoy more.
Lethal says that the destruction is in multiplayer, and they're showing campaign.
That's interesting. You'd think it'd be easier for them to have it in campaign than it would be in multiplayer, if that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, either way, Crackdown 3 did not look fun to me. They still have brought the...
Did you play 2?
I did, and it wasn't that great.
Yeah, so like there was something there in that first one that just hit the mark so perfectly. It was
likely
just amount ridiculous, just amount fun, just the right amount of.
They changed
everything.
Developers on 2, and they changed developers again on 3.
I don't like that statement.
What statement?
Google plays what we think, what the players want. You didn't ask. You didn't try. You didn't.
We're assuming.
Unfortunately, you're gonna get a lot of that when I go into more interviews that people have had with game developers about where's this and where's that, especially when we get to Destiny talk, because there's a lot of we feel that players want this and want that, and they shouldn't be doing this, and they get bored if they're doing that.
Says who?
That's just the Pete. No. That's just PR talk translated to we couldn't get this done. We didn't do this. It turns out we can't do what we thought we could do. Rather than saying that, they'll change it around to saying, we feel that this is what players need or players want, or we feel that this is going to enhance the gameplay so much better for our players than what we had promised you before. Because apparently we were thinking that that's what you guys wanted, but then when we couldn't do it, we thought, well, let's find something else that they would want, since we can't do that. I don't know. It's a lot of PR spin, really, whenever you get down to it. Mm-hmm. And look, in fact, the days that you watched, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, even Tuesday for Nintendo, you were watching marketing. You were watching commercials is what you were doing. You have to keep that in mind for everything that was shown, talked about, and seen in those presentations was something to win you over to earn your money. And so it was done in a way that was flashy, and we like to call it bullshotty.
Yeah.
Because of the screenshots or the picture or whatever that you're seeing is usually filled with lies. We go back to Watch Dogs, mm-hmm. when it first was shown off.
Nothing but lies.
To exemplify that. So what you're seeing is a big commercial to draw you in and get your money. Pre-order whatever it takes. Just draw you in and get it. Keep that in mind whenever you watch these things. Whenever you watch anything that's presented to you, it's presented to you in a fact to get your attention. Look for gameplay. Always look for gameplay. And even when you do see gameplay, remember that it's highly, most likely, very highly orchestrated and pulled along the lines, you know, so that everything goes right. And I will revert back to BioShock Infinite to lay that groundwork. Gameplay was shown off. We never got to play the game
that they showed.
We got to sit into a theater where gameplay was shown for us. It was scripted. It was, you know, you're watching old boy get down to his last little sliver of health, but he never dies because apparently they don't want... I never understood this part either. Other than maybe time. Other than for time constraints. I never understood why they would never let somebody be shown to die in the game. You know, the player. To actually die and be like, oh, I died, I gotta start over. Whatever. They just never want... And maybe that is a time thing where it's like, we just want this to be smooth and go through and show it off so that we don't have to go through... People know you can die in a game. So we don't have to show that, maybe. I don't know what the thing is. But BioShock Infinite showed off parts of the game that, by the time it got released, never actually made it into the game.
Yeah.
That whole thing got turned around massively by the time
it got released.
Completely
right.
In the 2 years that they were showing that off, by the time we got the game in October of whatever that year that was, that had changed completely. So much of that game had changed. So... Now, just keep in mind that what you're watching is a big commercial. We've got to take our first break. When we come back, we'll talk more about E3. I mean, that's what we're going to be talking about the entire time. We will get to Destiny. There's some things to be said there, and there's some things to there's other things to talk about. Sony's not necessarily under fire, but there's some issues there with Sony. There is nobody that really came out looking good, maybe except Devolver Digital. I think their press conference was probably, if you have not seen Devolver Digital's press conference, go watch it. It is completely the essence, and you heard a little bit in that opening, and I want to thank Moltile, who did the opening for the show. And I totally forgot to clap and everything else I needed to do for this thing, but I want to thank Moltile. This is his second year of doing an opening for us for the show. It is fantastic. He did one last year. If you want to see the video that accompanies that opening, you'll need to watch the show on Tuesday when we publish it on YouTube and everything else, and you can see the video that goes with it. He did a fantastic job, and so can't thank him enough for that. And this is why he gets games from me over the sales and Christmas holidays, because that's the only way I can think of thanking him. Is like, here, have a game. So thank you very much, buddy. And if you do want to call in, you can, 334-272-9228. I always try to find games that are being released during the week, but there was only one game that I know of that came out this week. That game's soundtrack is in here, but this is not it. So I grabbed one of the newer games, a game called Tyranny. This is the main theme for that. We'll be right back with more in-game chat after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat, our post-E3 episode. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Matt. We got Moltile on the phone we're going to go to here in a minute.
Camera?
Thank you. I always forget the camera part.
That's right. You can start making faces, they wouldn't see.
Music here is from ARMS for the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, is that the weird... Inspector Gadget boxing game?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
interesting little fighting game.
This doesn't sound like it would go with it to me.
Oh, please.
Listen to Marvel vs. Capcom 2 soundtrack, and you'll see if those tracks go with that.
Really?
Know what's going on in the game.
To me, this seems like more like Space... What was that? The Space Station X or...
Space Channel 5?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
No, man. Marvel vs. Capcom 2, the opening soundtrack for that is just... It doesn't feel like a fighting game. I don't know. It's...
Yeah.
Yeah. So this feels like it's perfect for what it is, actually. Any interest in that at all for you?
What, ARMS?
ARMS, yeah. No. Okay. Have you given it a look at all, or...?
I've seen pictures and images of it, but pretty much the Nintendo Switch altogether, I'm not...
And just in general?
Just in general, not interested in picking that up.
Okay. Was just curious. You're a resident, like, fighter guy, so...
Yeah.
I was curious. Mm-hmm. Not on my radar either.
Well, no. Party fighters, I've never really been into, really. Like Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a try one time, and it just wasn't for me. That PlayStation All-Stars battle, same thing, same Smash, just wasn't for me. And ARMS feels like...
Like that?
Like a, you know...
Do you think it's something that'll show up at...
Most likely. Something will... Someone's going to have a tournament that competitive play.
Right, yeah.
Or like at the GT South, maybe like a one night...
I'm thinking Evo.
Oh, okay.
Evo?
Yeah.
Or something like that, final round. You know, someone will probably put something on the side, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to be like main floor type thing. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But I wouldn't be surprised if someone did try that, actually.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a competitive.
I think there may be some strategy there in that thing the little bit that I've watched.
Yeah, but look, if they do it for Smash,
yeah,
you could see it happening on for ARMS somewhere.
Yeah. We'll bring Moltal in here. Hey, Moltal.
Howdy, howdy.
How you doing?
Thanks again for the video, man.
Oh, not a problem. Gonna take.
Yeah, love it. I just saw a post over here on NeoGAF that was posted just before we went live, about 6 minutes before the show started, and it is YouTube published their most viewed games from E3.
Mm-hmm.
This is all videos combined, not just trailers, because there are official, there's non-official trailer videos and all this other stuff, and YouTube has tracked everything. It includes all videos related to the title, including trailers, official gameplay, media coverage, and fan-uploaded reactions. It excludes titles where the E3 announcement primarily involved add-ons, upgrades, or existing releases on a new platform. So keep that in mind when I go down the top 10 here. Coming in at number 10, it is from Bandai Namco, Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Hmm.
Which got a lot of attention from a lot of people I saw. On
Facebook. It looks like Guilty Gear, but they made the
made
thing.
By
so, yeah.
It's made by the same people.
It's made by the same people.
It looked like an actual episode of Dragon Ball. I mean, they did a good job of matching the, you know, to make it look like a cartoon.
I saw a lot of people saying they out Capcom'd Capcom.
A lot of folks doing that lately, by the way.
Well, yeah. They're not in good favor with their fans at the moment after the Street Fighter V stuff.
No, still not.
Coming in at number 9, Need for Speed Payback, or as I like to call it, Burnout Payback. Need for Speed Burnout Payback. Maybe that's what it ought to be called. That's number 9 with EA. EA on the list here with 4 titles, by the way. Mm. At number 8 from EA is Anthem.
All right.
At number 7 from Sony, it is Spider-Man.
If they get the swinging down... That looks like that could be a lot of fun.
I thought about Arkham a lot when I saw that game.
Yeah.
A lot of people did.
Yeah,
you're supposed to, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did
that.
It was
a lot of fun to watch.
It was, and I've watched that. There are two titles that I've watched more of than any of the other titles, Spider-Man being one of them. Coming in at number 6 is the other one that I would say that I've watched more of, and it is the only one on here from Nintendo. It is Super Mario Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
At number 5 from Sony, there's only 2 from Sony, and this is their second one that is on the list. Number 5 is God of War.
Okay.
Watching the playthrough of that wasn't...
Old Man Kratos?
I wasn't... it didn't really bring me in. Watching it once was enough for me.
God of War, the last year's reveal was, I felt, much more impactful, and we got much more with it than this year.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I would agree, and I will say, we'll get to it when we get to Sony's.
Of course.
I have a theory about that. I don't know if it's good or bad, or if it's something that makes me seem like a horrible person, but we'll talk about it. Coming in at number four is Activision out of the Sony press conference. That is Call of Duty World War II.
All right.
I even forgot was coming out after, when they showed it, I was like, oh yeah, it's Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And even in between now and saying it, I was like, oh yeah, there's Call of Duty this year.
I expect that every year though, yeah.
Coming at number three from EA is FIFA 18.
Sure. A lot of people
like it. It does have a large following.
Ooh, wow. Yeah.
World's game.
Moltal got robotic there for a minute.
I know.
It's the world's game.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine. It was just, I'm sure your internet connection actually, made you sound Androidy. And coming in at number two from Ubisoft, it is Assassin's Creed Origins. Mm-hmm. And coming in at number one from EA, it is Star Wars Battlefront 2.
And this list is what, the most anticipated?
No. This is the most viewed games
from
E3. Okay. And the notes on this are, includes all videos related to the title. That includes trailers, gameplay, media coverage, and fan-uploaded reactions. It excludes titles where the E3 announcement primarily involved add-ons, upgrades, or existing releases on a new platform. So, like, Minecraft is something they wouldn't have covered because it was just, it's just been out.
In 4K.
Yeah. So, those
How
are
about
your...
the many iterations of Skyrim?
Yeah, that's not on the list either. But that was the most viewed games from E3, according to YouTube's research on that. So... Moltal, let me get your assessment of Microsoft's press conference there.
Well, with most of the coverage that I felt was happening, there wasn't a lot of gameplay to any of it, and most of the gameplay that we saw felt very, like you said before, when you were talking about being sat down and shown gameplay, it is very, like, highly scripted and... like, not really what the player would either be doing, or it's trying to be representative of the gameplay experience.
I will say the Forza gameplay they showed when they had the two drivers come out and actually play the game. One of them was not very good at playing that game.
Quite a lot of people commented on that as well.
Yeah, they didn't show her gameplay as much, and she was, because she was not very good at playing that game. But they didn't do a lot of, from what I remember, they didn't do a lot of, hey, here's the director to come out and play this level for you. They didn't do a lot of that. Even when they do that, though, understand that they're either mimicking play, or it is something specifically tailored to what they're about to show you. So,
doesn't
really matter how it's shown.
You gotta remember that these people are talking lies to you. It's all lies. But with Microsoft, anyway, like you guys were saying before with the Xbox One X, it is quite overpriced, and with all of their they're trying to re-show themselves like Sony did last year, of just being like, we have loads of games, these are all the games, let's look at all the games. It seemed to be a rather juxtaposition between when they were saying this is going to be a 4K machine, and then that married with, all these really low poly or low rendering sort of trailers that they have. It just didn't seem to mesh well with what they were trying to state.
And keep in mind, if you weren't watching it in 4K, if you didn't have the ability to watch that in 4K, this is the same problem that Sony ran into when they announced the Pro. We can't show you 4K. I mean, unless you're watching...
And a 4K
unless
TV.
You're able to watch 4K. We can't show you what this looks like.
Did they even have a stream of that?
I don't know. But any video that they put up online that's in 4K afterwards, like, hey, go watch this in 4K, unless you have the ability to do that, you still can't see it. Mm-hmm. So it's very tough to... It's a lot like it was with 3D, where you really have to see it to believe it type of thing. And 4K is the same way. You have to see it to believe it to see the difference in what you're seeing there. Let me ask you, out of the Xbox camp, out of that one, what was the thing you liked the most from them?
Well, between Crackdown 3 and Anthem, they both had their problems, but they also had my interest as well. Crackdown 3, like I was saying in chat before, it seemed that they were building this at the start of Xbox, which which was meant to be an always online console.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Crackdown 3 with the Xbox, if it had been always online, it means that their connection to the cloud would never be broken, which means they could, as they were trying to state way early on, they're going to offload all of their, like, building destruction and that sort of thing, offload it to the cloud, which they like to hammer home quite a bit. And now that it is not and always online, I can see why they stripped that. One of the reasons why they could have stripped it from the single player rather than the multiplayer, because most people expect if you're playing multiplayer, it's going to be online, of course, because you're going to be playing with other people. And then they could do the same thing where they're offloading that sort of representation, you know, onto that. But the other one is Anthem, which is BioWare again. It's meant to be their primary team, in inverted commas. It's hard to really tell what's going on over there, but it looked interesting. But again, we didn't really, I felt we didn't get a proper representation of what you're going to be playing in that game. And they tried to transition from, you know, like sort of half cutscene type thing to half in-game chat as it's going on, you know, the VoIP sort of thing. And it felt a bit weird again, but that's how these things generally fall.
Yeah, I'm asking in the chat room specifically I'm asking Lethal Migraine, because he cannot stand what Xbox showed off. And I said, look, so you hated all of it. What did you hate the least? And his response was that Cuphead finally got a release date after 4 years. I would agree with him.
Oh, yeah, it's been a while.
I would agree with him that. I've been to a number of indie showcases at Microsoft headquarters when I go to PAX. I've been to about 3 or 4 of them now. And Cuphead has always been on display in either a video or gameplay form of one level. And it's still one of those things where it's like, when are you going to release this thing? And apparently, finally, we have a release date on Cuphead. So, yeah, good news there. Phil Spencer did an interview where he said that that Microsoft has signed some exclusives or some deals for exclusive games, but he did not feel like he said from a PR standpoint, it would be easy to say, hey, let's get a trailer of this up on the screen for our press conference. But and again, remember that PR is being spun here, folks. So understand that what I'm saying is not something I'm trying to say, here's the reason it was bad. I'm saying this is what they said. So this is the PR spin that they put on it. They have signed exclusives, but he did not feel like showing something at the press conference that people weren't going to be able to play for 2 to 3 years from now. You know, he could have thrown a title card up there or something, but you would not be able to play the game for another 2 or 3 years. He felt like he wanted to showcase things that people were going to be able to play within the very, very near future, with I guess the exception of Anthem, because I think Anthem's at least a year or more out.
That's what I was going to bring up. I was going to say it's not like they held to that rule, you know, 100% or anything, because, well, previous years they've done it all the time, and this year, like you said, Anthem is there. So, like you said, it seems to be PR speak twisted to try and say, well, it's PR's fault that we're not doing this sort of thing. And I think that's ridiculous. I actually wrote a little bit just before we did, just before E3 started off, and I was saying that I'm not even too sure what this is actually meant for. You know, it doesn't seem to be for the general consumers, doesn't seem to be for the fully engaged consumers, and doesn't even seem to be for proper, like, journalists or anything like that.
No.
Or the people that have, you know, the people that have bought into the shares of the companies.
Yeah.
Because each of those groups have their own outlets and things, and this just seems to be a bit of a mess, you know?
I agree with you. I wasn't at all thrilled with that either. I will say the one takeaway I had, the Cuphead thing was great, and I'm glad Lethal Migraine reminded me of that. I really should have wrote all these things down of everything that was shown off. The one thing that I took away from the Xbox presentation for E3 was the fact that you're going to be able to play original Xbox titles.
Yeah.
And of course they showed off Crimson Skies.
Yeah.
So that was nice to see. I'm glad they're still supporting this whole backwards compatibility. And the fact that and something I also read, you'll be able to link up over a LAN. You'll be able to link up all family of Xbox machines, an Xbox One original with a 360, with an Xbox One, an X, an S, they'll all be able to be hooked up in LAN and be played together if you're playing something like Crimson Skies.
So yeah, I was just going to say they're thinking the Crimson Skies on all platforms to be played right off the bat.
Yeah, but think about that with like go back to original Halo, go back to Halo 2.
Oh yeah,
you know.
But you're gonna have to go back to the.
Anyone can pair with any console. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I think that's. I don't think I'll ever see that happen.
No.
But I think that's neat that they would be able to do that. I do in fact enjoy the fact that I'll be able to play some of the original Xbox titles because there are some great ones. Burnout 3 comes to mind. That you'll be able to play on the Xbox One family, the One S or the One X. I will say this, and as much as I'm raking them over the coals for that price tag. The fact that they're not releasing any kind of any games that will be restricted to that console is a nice little thing of them. Not necessarily a nice thing for them to do, but it's nice to see that they're going in that direction. That nothing.
Well, Scott, this is what I was saying before about they have two. They have basically two separate roads here. They have either you show the power of the Xbox One X.
Mm-hmm.
By releasing games that are solely for that and pushing it to its limit, which you know changes who can buy it basically, or you play to the lowest common denominator and you release it for the original sort of Xbox One, whatever the baseline was,
yeah.
That all of it can play, and then you just add on some extra features that the other two can use because you're hitting more games. And sure, this is why the Wii U failed and all this sort of caper. The companies are going lowest common denominator, who's got what, and let's see who can buy into this game. And if you release something that's so high-end, only the Xbox One X can play it, well, you're not going to hit very much of the market there. You know, it has to be one of these titles that everyone will buy, and even at that, is that enough for some of these companies like Ubisoft and EA?
Yeah. And I don't know that it will be. As a consumer, for me, who just wants to play the games, I'm glad that they don't have anything that is. I'm glad there's nothing out there that's going to force my hand into buying an Xbox One X just so I can play those games, and that there likely will never be anything like that since I can play them on the One S that I already have. So.
Oh, I agree. But you know, you see it on Steam anyway. You know, with mm-hmm. games going middle of the road as well, and the ones that go high processing power are used for mainly you know, benchmarks and things like Ashes of the Singularity. Mm-hmm. You don't see many people picking that up for, you know, actually playing. They use it for benchmarks because it's such a high intensive game. You know.
Let's quickly do, before we take a break here, let's quickly talk about Bethesda, because there really isn't much to talk about. I think we'll be able to cover that in the 3 minutes that we've got until the top of the hour. Bethesda,
like a rerun for them?
They showed off Skyrim VR, Doom VR.
Fallout.
Fallout.
You can't say the actual name of Doom VR on air.
VFR. Doom VR. So there was all this build up, and about halfway through the show, we got some DLC content for Dishonored 2 that kind of perked our eyes up a little bit.
Oh, Dishonored 2. That's meant to be a standalone, not DLC.
Oh, the DLC. It's a standalone, huh?
It's supposedly meant to be a standalone. I've only heard this on podcasts and such. I haven't actually seen anything legitimate just yet. But that's meant to be a standalone.
Interesting.
The people that were there, they've been talking about it. You know, that's why it took so long, supposedly.
I did not know that. But yeah, okay. Well, then maybe expand alone, I guess. A lot like the old Blood was for Wolf.
Or even like Blood Dragon for Far Cry.
Dragon for Far Cry, exactly. So that perked our ears up, but then we really saw nothing out of that afterwards. They talked about mod communities and all this other stuff, that they were going to be charging for mods and... all this thing, and then of course they closed with New Colossus, which was great. I mean, that was fantastic.
That was the only thing they showed,
and I'm really glad that we got that.
Yeah. So they had the Evil Within 2 sort of business going on with the Milky trailer. You know, all the faces coming out of
there. Right, there was that. I forgot about Evil Within 2.
Yeah, the cover song they put was off, and I don't remember what the song was off the top of my head now. I just brain dumped it.
What, Evil Within?
Well, like you said, Matt, earlier, they had the Nintendo Switch Elder Scrolls business going on, where we actually saw, initially with Nintendo Switch's, you know, launch, it was like, you can play this on the plane, look, it's Skyrim, and it's like, no, year later. But it's here.
Yeah, I would say that's the only thing I came away from with Bethesda's press conference was the Dishonored 2 stuff, whatever that's going to be, and the new Colossus is what I came away with.
Yeah, it really felt like they were just like, we are still making bits and pieces. You know, Wolfenstein 2, here's a new Quake Champion, Evil Within's coming, you know, we're still doing stuff, we're here.
Evil Within being released, Evil Within 2 being released in October, great. But then New Colossus, October as well. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, wow, okay, didn't expect that. I was expecting a May thing like they normally do with these. But no, it's actually coming out in October. October is packed for game releases,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, it is.
October is and I want to say this as well. All these late October games, these mid to late October games, they're going to be at least $20 cheaper come Black Friday in November, in the Black Friday weekend. So keep that in mind. Mafia 3 was a great example from last year. The thing was, you could have Mafia 3 for like $30. Titanfall 2 was down to like $19 by the time Black Friday hit. What was a couple of others? Watch Dogs, I think. Maybe it wasn't Watch Dogs. It was something else. Had dropped in price by the time that Black Friday had rolled around. So keep that in mind. I understand wanting to play this stuff as soon as it comes out. But if you can, and that's fine. Pick a game that can do that, that you want to do that with, but hold off on the old.
Oh, you'll have plenty of choice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you will. You got plenty. The only one that I'm looking to pick up in October is going to be Mario Odyssey, because Nintendo rarely drops prices
they're the Disney of the games.
Yeah, they rarely drop. So picking that up in October would be fine, because it's really not going to drop in a price. At all. And in fact, I want to address a tweet that we got from Spigot. He had asked about what the price of Mario Odyssey was here in the States, because it's running $99 in Canada right now. So $99 in Canada, it's usually $79 in Canada. Here it is, I think, $60, but I'm picking it up for $43 because of that Best Buy Gamers Club thing that they've got here. So I'll be picking it up for that. I already put in the pre-order on it, just because I can get $10. Well, they've got a special promotion. If you pre-order it, you'll get a $10 gift card after you pick it up. So that's already dropping the price down for me. I already grabbed the three amiibos that I wanted from that.
Yeah.
The wedding outfits for Mario, Peach, and Bowser. There's, I was like, sure, I'll get those.
New amiibo coming out later on this month I want to get. Zelda's Majora's Mask.
Yeah, I saw that. We need to take a break here. We're going to come back, and we got to hit Ubisoft, Sony, and Nintendo before we end the show here. So we're going to take a break. Motal, will you hang on?
Oh, of course, yes.
All right. Hang on the line, Motal. We'll get back to you in just a moment. And right now we're going into music here from Pillars of Eternity. The title theme for that, it's Obsidian, and I was thinking about RPGs or whatever, and this came up, and I need some music, so here we go, Pillars of Eternity. We'll be back with more in-game chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. It's our After E3 episode. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Matt. Got Moltal on the phone as well. This is music. Again, I'm reaching for things. We saw a Spider-Man reveal at Sony, so I grabbed the main theme from Web of Shadows, which is...
One of the really good ones.
I really enjoyed that game, Spider-Man Web of Shadows. This was made around the Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3 films. This was before Amazing Spider-Man came in. Yeah. That's why the theme on this is very mimicky.
Elfman-esque.
Yeah, it's mimicky of what Elfman had done for the...
Which he'll be doing Justice League.
He will. That's an interesting thing, but that's something for a later show, or yes. Not this one. We're way packed with stuff. So, before we go into Ubisoft, which I thank you, Lethal Migraine, for posting all the reveals from Ubisoft's presser, we should probably hit up the PC Gamer Show just for a minute, or at least acknowledge that it was there. I don't remember seeing anything that... I know, man. Look, last year was great for them. This year, I didn't really see anything that stood out for me.
Well, yeah, and I also think that Intel didn't actually do a good job of being, you know, being good hosts for it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
AMD went out and brought out some of their hardware, and that woman is very good at selling her stuff. Like, even though we weren't getting stats on it, she even made people excited about it, people that weren't generally excited. Otherwise, that Intel guy, he was not suited for that job at all.
No. So, I want to reference it because we only had all the shows that were there, but this was kind of a downer on the PC Gamer Show. Going to Ubisoft's press conference, though, they opened up with Mario and the Rabbids thing, which...
Oh, yeah, Ubisoft had a very heart-to-heart with, like, three of the creators. So they had, like you said, they had the Mario and...
Miyamoto?
I can't remember.
Yeah, Miyamoto.
Yeah, sure. I was talking about the little furry things, but yeah, Miyamoto too.
Yeah, so that was there. Also, AC Origins.
He's always so awkward when he comes on stage.
Miyamoto?
Yeah.
Man. He seems
whether
like,
he's like sitting there with like Zelda's Master Sword and Shield, or
but he
like
seems like he's
with...
always happy. Regardless,
oh, yeah.
It's like never he's no, dude's never sad at all. He's just happy to be there and just happy but that he's got Mario doing stuff again. But
he's always has Mario doing stuff.
I know, but he's got Link doing stuff as well.
Yeah.
But the guy just seems always happy whenever he's around, regardless of whatever he's showing off. So the Mario Rabbids thing, which honestly doesn't look as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
it's got an interesting. I didn't know how the game was going to play. When they showed off the gameplay, I was like, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not. I'm still not down on it, but that's not bad. AC.
Yeah, I seriously thought it was going to be a shooter, but
right.
Yeah, it's more like XCOM instead of you know, just being a straight shooter or something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. AC Origins was shown off again, not too much, not as much as they showed off at the Microsoft press conference. The Crew 2 was announced. I figured we were going to get that, but they're adding in apparently boats and aircraft now as well.
Another one.
It also looks like we have that whole FIFA and now Madden sort of single player thing where you play one character and get them all socially interactive and such.
Right.
I'd rather them be like me and just get them all socially awkward.
They went back to South Park again just to remind us that, that game's going to actually come out.
That's the one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well.
I would play that.
I loved the little bit that I played of it when I was at PAX last year.
Did you ever do the first one?
I did not. I have it, but I have not played it. Yeah.
A lot of fun. I beat it.
Transference. I think Transference was the VR thing with Elijah Wood.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta say, you see the little bit of what seemed to be gameplay of it, in inverted commas gameplay, it looked so low poly.
It did.
Yeah.
It really looked bad.
It looked like they forgot to put in the texture maps.
Yeah.
You know, when it looks like, all right, are you guys not loading textures onto these polygon?
It looked to be weird just to be for weird's sake. It looked to be very Elijah Woody.
Yeah.
Something that he had a brain thought on and got together with somebody and said, I want to make this.
Let's do it.
And, you know, kind of
threw some money at his face.
Yeah, it looked very artsy for VR stuff. I don't know, man. I have no idea. It didn't look like it interested me. That's what I would say on that. Just Dance was there. Skull and Bones.
That one looks good.
The naval battle.
Yeah.
Pirate naval battle thing. It's like they just...
It's Black Flag without Abstergo.
Yeah, they took...
Guns of Icarus, you know.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, actually, sorry, hold on. I do apologize. That is the wrong game. I'm thinking of the Rare one from Microsoft.
Oh, what? Sea of Thieves?
Sea of Thieves. I was thinking of that. That's the more Guns of Icarus one.
No.
You're piloting one ship per person with the Skull and Bones one.
Yeah, Skull and Bones is very... I want to hear more about it before I get too overly excited, because I don't trust Ubisoft to deliver on something that really gets me excited.
To me, it looks like you've already played this. It was Assassin's Creed 4.
I still want to know more of what they're doing.
Yeah.
I still would like to know more of what they're doing.
I'm actually slightly less excited than comparison to Sea of Thieves, because I really like Guns of Icarus, where you're running about trying to do one...
Guns like I like. See, I like Guns of Icarus. You know? Because of the
rules and things.
Yeah, like you've got to look when some of your guns have been taken out or damaged, you got to go down there and fix them. So that means you can't be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I like that aspect about Guns of Icarus, and I like the steampunkish dirigible things that they got going on, and I liked that. Skull and Bones. I enjoy just for the fact of how much I enjoyed the naval combat in Assassin's Creed 4, and that looks like what they're giving us, but we still don't know. We still know very little about it. How does the wind work? Does it work? Does it all work the same as Assassin's Creed, or what are the differences? I got to figure there are some differences there, but I don't know. What's the object? I don't know. Is it multiplayer? Is it single player? Is it how many ships are under your command? Just the one? Do you have a fleet? How does this? I don't know. There's still a lot.
Well, from what we saw, I think the multiplayer is it's five a side, sort of collect the loot and run away,
mm-hmm.
and whoever has the loot and exits, goes away from the map line, you know, some sort of exit, and they have the loot, they win, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I would assume there's some sort of progression system, probably similar to that New York Snowy game with the guns and such.
It's just Division?
Flew my head. Division, yes. Something like that with the, you know, with the Dead Zone sort of thing.
Where
there's like loot drops and people go in and fight, and then whoever pulls the loot out has the loot sort of thing. I feel like that's probably going to be very similar to Sea of Thieves. Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones. I know, we keep doing that. We keep going back. Lethal Migraine talks about World of Tanks, and that's exactly what I was thinking. Was it World of Tanks just with World of Ships? Is this what that is? Is this what they're going with? I think there is a world. Somebody mentioned that. World of Warships, I think, is a thing. It's World of Warships online.
It sounds like a thing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Just Dance was shown off, like I said. South Park mobile game. Yeah sure. Starlink Battle for Atlas. This is the one that has you put your ships on your controller?
Yeah.
It looks like another Toys to Life
Lego
game?
Lego Skylanders controller type of thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not on board for that just yet. I'd like to see what they do, and maybe if they can give me... Look, for Toys to Life games I've never gotten into. About the only thing I've gotten into is just having the toys themselves, and just the ones that really just strike me as something that I want, which may happen the same way. They may have a ship there that I'm just like, that's a nice-looking ship. I'll just buy that, stick it up on a bookshelf.
I don't think it's going to catch you, Scott, because they were trying to promote some sort of weird hot swapping during the match, where you're trying to grab, you know, different weapons and such and throw it on your little ship while you're playing. I don't think it's going to be your thing, Scott, to be honest.
Oh, no, no. For me to play? No, not at all. Not at all. But I never say never, because I obviously bought a Nintendo Switch.
Of course.
Steep, they showed off, which I, as soon as it came up, I was like, stop trying to make Steep happen. Just go away.
I play SSX.
I know, SSX. Just give me that.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's always Winter Olympics 1998. I really, really enjoyed that, and that's the only winter game I need.
I go back old school to Apple IIc days of the Epix Winter Olympics.
Oh, Mass, that's so old school.
I know.
Far Cry 5 was shown after that.
That one I am definitely going to be playing.
It's Far Cry.
Oh, yeah. Water Tars instead of the other Tars. You know, it was a small change here.
But still Towers.
Mm-hmm.
Just little tires, but water
instead of radio. Yeah. Yeah, and of course the final reveal was Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah,
which I know I'm the same. Especially when I found out more
gameplay. There's no release date. There's nothing. They have done the exact same as they did like 5 or 7 years ago.
I know.
They showed the trailer and don't do anything else.
They interviewed the guy, and he said that the development of Beyond Good and Evil 2 is basically at day zero, which means we have this trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got nothing. They've got nothing. They hired some really talented, maybe even from Blizzard, who do great cinematics that have nothing to do with the game, and just said, make this trailer for us. Because I bet you any money that's not even going to be in the game, never mind anything else.
I like the first one. A lot. It had cute little heart. It was, it was a good story.
Matt, come on. Like, you got Half-Life never showing up again. This is the same thing. You're not going to get the same thing at all.
Yeah, I like the first one, but, I mean, too much time has gone by where just let it die. You know, let people enjoy the nostalgia of the old one with the, after a while, you can't bring back Duke Nukem. We've moved on as gamers.
Well,
as
you can,
people.
But he'll trip and fall on face.
But exactly. So maybe the same thing with Beyond Good and Evil. It was a great game. It was cute. It was, fun little whatever. But we've moved on. Just let it be in the past. And you're never going to get Half-Life 3.
Of course.
After Ubisoft, we had Sony to look forward to. I'm going to do Sony in split parts here because I know we're coming up on another break here. And it might take us a minute to get through it. But... what we expected from Sony is exactly pretty much what we got. Not necessarily with the games, but with the presentation. The very little talking. They would come out, say, hey, this is the Sony PlayStation press conference. We hope you enjoy the games. And then leave the stage and we never hear from them again. Which is exactly what we got for the most part. So we got what was the first reveal that they showed off? Was the desert setting thing?
I was going to say, I don't have this in order at all.
It wasn't Origins. It was Uncharted.
Yeah, Chloe and...
Uncharted of which
Naomi?
I can't remember. What,
Naomi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see Lethal Migraine's posting up there. Uncharted Legacy is what we're doing. Which is great because I'm glad he's doing this. Then the Horizon expansion. Then Days Gone was shown off.
Yeah.
People were half-minded about that, whether it was actually going to be presented or not. But we got a lot more of the people versus people instead of people versus zombie as we got last time.
We did. What I didn't see a lot of from Sony when they were showing all these things off are dates.
No.
Yeah, definitely.
Uncharted Legacy has a date, yes. The Horizon expansion got a date. Days Gone, I don't think, got a date. Other than maybe a year.
I'm going to say October, just because, why not?
I'm going to say next year. I don't think it's coming this year. I don't think it's coming this year. Monster Hunter World.
You said December wasn't the right date. I think it's going to be pushed back.
Gone. What date did they give?
I'm looking at a recap section. It's like very late December, they're thinking, right?
Yeah, now. No, that'll be a February game more than likely. December's not... You just don't get a lot of releases in December. You do sometimes, not a lot. You do get some high profiles that get released in December, but for the most part, you don't. And Days Gone, I don't think... you got Last Guardian in December last year.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is going to get a December release. I really don't. I think they'll push it back. God of War.
I cannot see one. I can't see a release date at all.
Do what?
I can't see a release date for Days Gone at all.
Yeah, I don't... Exactly. A lot of what they showed off did not get release dates. Monster Hunter World, which is not on my radar, so I didn't really pay attention to if it got a date or not.
That looked very funny though to me.
First quarter of 2018 right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shadow of the Colossus remake.
Two. It's the second remake.
Oh
no!
That looked
not really.
That looked
no. Worse. This is a built from the ground up remake. This is not a port for some upscaling or something like they did for the PS3.
Yeah.
When they did PS3, they did the dual pack. You could get Shadow of the Colossus and Ico.
Yeah.
And they weren't. They did not have the remaster on there or anything like. I don't think they had remaster on there. I think those were just like strict ports of the games that you could play. So this is a full on remake.
I thought it was remastered. I think it was labeled as remastered.
It may have been. I don't remember, but I know that this looked amazing compared to what we were getting from the PS3 version. So this is just a ground up completely. Remade game, but they've also
I really did not like I really didn't like what was shown there. It didn't feel like a proper do-over, if you know what I mean.
Well, they're not doing. It is. It's almost like the Uncharted collection that they did when they upscaled those for everything, where they're not adding anything new into this thing. It is going to be the exact same game. You're not getting any kind of bonus content with it. It is the exact same game, but you can now play it on your PS4, which is basically what that was. With the exception of it looking better than what it used to. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite was announced, and of course the story demo. Have you played that, RJ?
No, it's too much like 3. I'm still not a... I really didn't like 3, and this felt like old Marvel vs. Capcom 3 to me, so I just... pass it off to the side. I'm
not on your radar.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, so... I gotta say that story version looks like they're trying to do a Mortal Kombat Infinity 2 sort of thing on it. They're actually trying to give you some proper story with it instead of the fluff that they normally give for fighting games.
Well, they released a demo that was just story based, wasn't it? Or something? Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, some demo came out with it, yeah.
Yeah, RJ's not paying attention to it at all. He's already written that game off, man. He has written that game off. We're going to split Sony up here and stop at 6. They did 12 reveals, and we're going to stop here and take a break. When we come back, we'll hit the rest of Sony, and then we'll talk about Nintendo as well to wrap up the rest of the show. Moltal, you good to hang on?
For the moment, yes.
Okay, well, I hope you stick with us. Don't go anywhere. We're going to try and make this break quick for you. Hang on. We're going to be right back with more of In-Game Chat after this. Something we didn't talk about, I forgot about from Microsoft, Metro, new Metro game.
Yeah.
I got music from Metro Last Light. It's called Enter the Metro. Me and James loved Last Light. We enjoyed it very, very much. So, looking forward to another new Metro game in that series. Of course, we'll be playing it on PC we did with Last Light.
Do you play the first one?
Huh?
Did you do the first one?
I have the first one. I never played it, though.
Okay.
I never played it. Started with Last Light, though, and just enjoyed the hell out of that. Yeah. So we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Like I said, music from Metro Last Lights. We'll be back. And welcome back to In-Game Chat, our E3 episode here. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Matt. Moltal on the phone as well. Music here from Dying Light. Didn't think I was getting that. I looked up music for Dying Light, expecting
this.
And I'm liking it. This is called Horizon. This track is called Horizon.
Did you ever play that?
I have it, and I have played a little bit of it, yes. Not much.
I remember it being fun, but I didn't finish.
I did enjoy what little bit I played of it. I just never got back around to playing it. I am trying to go back and play some games. I actually started playing Mad Max again.
See, that's another one I need to... That one and Shadow of Mordor.
That's another one I want to go... Shadow of Mordor I try to go back to, but I believe I'm going to have to start fresh. Because I can't remember how to play it. Mad Max, I've sort of learned how to get back into it and remembered why I kind of stopped.
Yeah.
Repetition.
Yeah.
Whole lot of repetition. If you're doing all of the side missions and the side missions are available right from the start. I can go do all of this stuff. I can clear out the land first and then focus on the story. And I do that a lot, but I do it obviously at the expense of enjoying the game because I wear myself down on playing it. And so very, very repetitious. But yeah, Shadow of Mordor is... something I want to get back into. And like I said, I may have to start fresh when I do that. So, getting back to Sony's press conference, we had just finished up with Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, and then they showed off Call of Duty World War II. You're getting a November release after an October that is going to shut us down. No one's going to care about your game. I'm sorry, you know, Wolf is in October. Destiny 2 for PC is in October. Mario Odyssey is in October. Assassin's Creed Origins is in October. There's other games that I'm missing that are in October as well. It is just, I think Forza is in October as well. There's a lot in October that is just making me forget that COD is even coming out. I know that I'll remember it because they will go hard on that marketing, when it does release. And I'll be interested to see how this fares among consumers in general, just to go back to a World War II setting, which is where they started. We'll be interesting to see how that goes. The next one they showed off was their VR segments. And I want to, again, thank Lethal Migraine for posting all these things, because I was completely forgetting them. Skyrim, Star Child, The Inpatient, Final Fantasy Fishing. Of course.
Oh, yes, yes. Fishing, yes.
Bravo Team and a game called Moss. I was expecting more from the VR side of things, and I was really expecting something from the Battlefront 2 VR side of things, but did not get that. So, yeah, I was just like, okay. Yeah.
Was that last one Moss, the 2D platformer thing?
I can't remember. I remember the Final Fantasy Fishing because that's all it was, and I thought, okay. But I don't remember hardly any of these. Skyrim is not something I'm interested in. The Inpatient, I believe that was just a real quick little, maybe scary game thing. I'm not sure.
Looks it.
Star Child, Bravo Team, and Moss, I don't remember. I'd have to go back and watch those. The next thing they showed off was God of War. God of War Norse.
Yep, God of War, yeah.
Whatever this is. He's gone from being Greek to being Norse. Because they're throwing in a lot of what seems like a lot of Norse mythology with this, which is fine. I don't mind going in that direction. I love Norse mythology just as much as I love the Greek mythology.
Yeah.
In fact, I might even prefer the Norse mythology actually a little bit more, just for how much it's all intertwined. All of it is, but I like it. There's something, maybe because I don't know as much about it as I do Greek, that I like the North mythology more.
Something more to discover?
There were some rumors that they were saying that this isn't actually a proper sequel.
That it's not a proper sequel?
Yeah, there were some rumors saying that.
That maybe it's just
You got a reboot going?
Yeah, you know, it's possible... That they're trying
again,
to
again, rumors, you know, yeah, rumors yeah. account for virtually nothing, especially when PR or talking to people.
Yeah, it's possible that they might be doing a reboot here. I don't know, but I did say after watching all of that, that I thought this might be an unpopular opinion, but I was like, that kid better die at the end of the game or somewhere in the game. I know.
I have seen a couple of people saying, I think the kid's going to die. You know, that you're trying to, you think it's it was, the new dog.
You think it was got the nerve to do it, though?
I hope that they do, and I don't say this because it's vindictive or that I hate like children. No. I have to look at the way that Kratos has been handled over God of War 1, 2, 3, and even the other stuff.
Yeah.
Kratos himself is a Greek tragedy. He has just had the worst of things happen in his life. It is horrible, and it is easily shown off in God of War 3 at the end of that game when he sees his family get killed.
Do you not think he's going to go through something, he gets killed, and then he's going to go on a fight to try and get him resurrected or something?
I don't know. But I was looking at that, I thought the kid would die, and that would put him in this enraged state of whatever. And I mean, his life is a tragedy. And if they're going to, obviously, if they're moving away from Greek and going into Norse, then maybe it's not a tragedy anymore. Maybe it's not going to be a Greek tragedy. I don't know. I just feel like his life has been horrible from day one, and it's just going to continue in that vein. Of him just being, like I said, it's just a tragedy for him. And so it's not anything to do with my like or dislike of children or anything like that. Yeah, it's just that if they're going to keep the thread going, this seems like it's bound to happen. That the end of this thing is not going to be a good outcome for him or maybe for his kid, that they're going to, it feels like one of the two has to die. So what you're saying
is you hate kids and you want it to die.
No. I'm saying there's probably going to be a death. I don't see Kratos and his son coming out on the end of this.
If Kratos was the one that died and like sent to Valhalla, you know.
I was going to say the same thing, Matt. You know, I was going to say, what if Kratos dies and you start playing the kid?
Yeah. Oh, like Red Dead Redemption.
Aye, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's very possible. I just think if they had any balls, they'd kill the kid.
I don't think it's gonna happen that way.
Yeah.
Like one of the first things I heard in comments when Wolfenstein came up, when you saw that Anya was pregnant, the first thing a lot of people were saying, nothing better happen to Anya because she's got twins. So a lot of folks were like, oh, I'm hoping nothing happened to her throughout the game, and she's in a situation where.
Games are very hesitant about that. Like, you know, Fallout and Skyrim. You have kids in the world, but you can't target them.
Yeah, you told me plenty of times how you felt about the kids in Little Lamplight.
Yeah.
You couldn't stand them.
No, I wanted to just every last one of them.
Yeah, but it won't let you.
I'm not trying to be, Scott, we
understand that.
Yeah, I'm not saying that games got to be realistic to where everybody is free game to take out or something like that. I just feel, as a narrative sense...
I feel that way.
...that... one of those two people ain't going to live, and if they had any balls on them, it would be the kid just to keep the thread going through Kratos' life of horrible things happening to him.
Yeah, and I'm
going
to
feel like
to do that.
The kid's going to be the new dog where they kill it off. You know, they have an emotional investment and then straight off, kill it off.
Yeah. After God of War, we got Detroit.
Yeah.
More gameplay from David... Cage is...
Gameplay, big inverted commas over that, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to go with on that.
Yeah, we got some scenes from him. And sure, even if those were proper gameplay segments, as they say, from his game, they're probably going to be button mashing or button prompts.
He does like the quick time events.
It's going to be QTE stuff, which is fine. I don't mind QTE. Look, as much flack as Spider-Man's game... got from people who hate QTEs, I was like, hey, right up my alley. You know? I love...
Have they not played a David Cage game before?
Well, no, I'm talking about Spider-Man.
No, but, like, I mean, that's prominently his games are.
Yeah.
QTE, right?
You know, press X to Jason.
Yep. Yeah. It's like when I played Shenmue on Sega, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
A bunch of QTE, but the story was still interesting enough to me to keep going. You didn't think about QTE.
I'm curious to see where that story goes with that. I'm curious to see what they're trying to tell with that story.
I personally am slightly worried. I actually don't mind the QTEs so much. Like his Heavy Rain, I quite enjoyed playing through that.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
What was annoying was his general aversion to finishing a storyline with the parameters he set.
Yeah.
And him going into a more fantasy, high sci-fi sort of thing. Like, ooh, magic! Ooh, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that happened with, like, three of his games. Like, even Beyond Two Souls had, like, an established sort of business happening, and then they had to go all additional spiritual. You know, they had to add another level, and it's like, you don't need... This is not how you need to up the ante. You mm-hmm. know, you don't need to do this. And I feel it ruins the storyline for me anyway. So
I still remember the end of that. When I had to pick between the light and the dark side, thing like that. And
never played it.
Yeah, but at that point, I'm just kind of lost interest near the tail end when they had that choice between light and dark. It was just like, okay, just whatever at that point.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm just curious as to maybe, I don't know, what statement they may be trying to say, if a statement at all. Mm-hmm. I don't like things that make statements like that. I like just to enjoy it fun and not really have to worry about what is being said. But even if there is something being said, maybe you're given a choice as to how it's said or what's being said or something like that. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see whenever that game gets released, because, again, I don't think we got a date on that one either.
But for
Detroit.
We didn't get a date for God of War other than maybe a year, which was 2018.
Yeah, it just said to be announced on God of War for Detroit.
Like, they're still showing this stuff off,
announced.
But
yeah,
we got new
announced.
Dates.
Yeah.
Destiny 2 was the next thing they showed off, because, of course, they've got the exclusives for that. I don't know that we're going to get into a Destiny 2 discussion in this episode, but we probably will next week, because there's plenty to be said now that we had... You know, this was something that James and myself had talked about a lot on which way we were going with this thing. And
then they sort of answered it for us.
And now we kind of know when we're going to get the PC version. 7 weeks later.
Oh, I just reminding you, PC has more players. Come on. Come over to PC. If you guys are playing it, I'll buy it. I'll play it too.
There may be more. look, here's the thing with Destiny that I'm not a fan of, is that while there may be more players on PC, it doesn't matter. I can only group up with three of you, mm-hmm. two of you,
mm-hmm.
if I want to go. If Destiny 1 is any indication, strikes were limited to three people. Running around, huh?
Only three people you could
for strike.
For a strike, yeah.
PC?
Yeah, huh?
No, well, for Destiny 1.
I mean, for Destiny. On,
yeah.
Wow.
Raids were six.
Raids were
six.
Three. Strikes were three. And doing anything out in the world, if I wanted to go and do stuff on the planet with you, just regular old missions and things, mm-hmm. three people. That's it.
Wow.
And now they're limiting Crucible to 4v4 instead of 6v6, like it is on 1.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's cutting it down even further. So.
Yeah.
The more friends I have playing, actually,
it doesn't matter.
Becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to get to play with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's issues there. We'll get into that. They ended, of course, the Sony press conference with Spider-Man. We did not get a date on that either. We got a year, which was 2018. That was almost to be expected, honestly, with how much we've gotten out of that thing. And again, we talked about this. You know, it looks like they're going the Arkham route with things. We'll see how things play out when more people get to play this.
Yeah.
I believe we'll see a lot more stuff from Sony when PSX hits in December, like it normally does, when they have their little convention, the mm-hmm. PlayStation convention.
Yeah, I was gonna say, they have their own convention to think of as well. So
yeah, the PlayStation Experience. Yeah, exactly.
Now you get two more. What is it, Nintendo and someone else?
No, that's it. Nintendo's next. That is it. Devolver Digital, maybe. But I already just, you know, Devolver was just a fun showcase. That's
just
really
watch
it.
Them.
Yeah.
Don't describe
just go
it,
watch
just
them.
Watch it.
I was just going to say, yeah, I completely agree. Very good. I really enjoyed it. And everyone should just go watch it blind. Mm-hmm. Don't read anything. Just go.
Yeah, no,
just go
no
enjoy
expectations.
It.
Just go in.
It's not a it's
clean
not two
slate.
Hours. It's not 3 hours. It's less
was
than
like
20
half
minutes.
Hour?
Like 15. I think it's 15 or 20 minutes or
okay.
something.
Yeah. But boy, did they do a lot in those 15 or 20 minutes. They were just fantastic.
Good fun.
Yeah, it's all about fun. Don't worry about the games they show off. Just watch the presentation. Nintendo was next. Had a 25-minute little Nintendo spotlight thing for E3. They covered nothing but Switch titles. That is it. In their thing. It wasn't until the Treehouse that they covered 3DS games and that sort of thing. But the actual presentation itself, What started with Reggie throwing out some Zen-like stuff.
Yeah.
And then it jumped into, oh, God, was it ARMS, I think? And then they showed off Splatoon 2.
Mm-hmm.
No, Xenoblade Chronicles was the first one. Huh?
Oh, I was just saying my timing for this is all, but I'm all mixed up as well.
Yeah, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 was the first thing they showed off. I have no interest in that game. I know there's probably a massive fan base for it, but
we're not part of it.
Nothing for me there. In fact, most of what they showed actually really isn't for me, except for two games that popped up, but we'll get to those in a minute. So Xenoblade Chronicles 2 was shown off. Another Kirby game was shown off.
Oh, yep, Kirby and Yoshi.
And then there was a Yoshi game that was shown off again. Kirby and Yoshi, almost just a given that they're going to do those games for the Switch. Splatoon 2, of course. There was Pokemon.
Yeah.
They announced, you know, yep. They talked about
a mainline game for Pokemon, yep, for the Switch, which is supposedly unheard of. You know, we haven't had a proper Pokemon mainline game on a home console, but, you know, the Switch is still portable, so whatever.
Yeah. Metroid Prime 4 announced, which, yep, is something I did not see coming.
Which, if it went on the Switch, I would definitely want that on my Wii U.
Oh, yeah, Metroid Prime 4 is for the Switch, and it's that 2.5D, you know, it's a 3D animation, but 2D viewing of the game. It looks wait, amusing, but we haven't.
We saw gameplay.
3-ish D.
No. Like I said, it's the same as all of the three E3s. You know, it's not actual gameplay. It's their sort of stylized.
There was no game. No.
The only thing I saw was the 3DS.
But
for Metroid Prime 4 was just the logo or something.
No, Metroid Prime 4 was just a title. They didn't show off any gameplay.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That was the
clearly I drank a little bit too much when watching that.
No, that's totally fine. You're thinking of Metroid. Yeah, Metroid Samus Returns. Yeah.
I do apologize.
That was the 3DS game.
That's the one definitely
that they showed off on the Treehouse part of the thing.
Yeah, we had two Metroids that
I know, two Metroid Prime.
My excitement should be recalled.
Yeah. But Metroid Prime 4, they just got a title, and again, I did not expect that. I really thought Metroid was just left by the wayside. Mm-hmm. But boom, we got a title out of that. That was a huge thing. And of course, they showed off Mario Odyssey, yeah, and then gave us a date, which was October 27th, I believe, mm-hmm, or Friday of the final Friday of October, yeah, for the release date on Mario Odyssey, which looks like a gigantic game. Mm-hmm. It looks like Breath of the Wild, what Breath of the Wild was for Zelda, Odyssey is for Mario.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what that seems to be, what yeah. we're getting there on that. And it looked like something I would enjoy playing. And so I'm actually excited for it.
You mentioned something about Metroid being put to the wayside, but I would think that Metroid would be one of Nintendo's most popular titles. It wouldn't.
Yes, but when's the last true Metroid? Other M?
Okay, what was the last good one?
Last good one?
Of yeah. course.
That's Super a matter. Metroid? That's a matter of opinion.
Yeah, Super sort of Metroid Nintendo. For me.
Okay, is it safe to say it's been a while since there's been a good Metroid game?
Metroid Prime 3 was released on the Wii or the Wii U? The Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Metroid Prime 3 was released on the Wii.
Okay, because I guess it was Prime 1 and 2.
Prime 1 and 2 were GameCube. Yeah. 3 was released on the Wii, then they had the Metroid Prime trilogy that was released on the Wii, so that all three games could be played on the Wii. Then you had Other M release, and then you had, I think, a 3DS game, Fusion, or Metroid Prime Fusion, which...
Oh, yeah, it was some sort of, it was that whatever you call the army from Metroid.
Yeah.
Doing things.
But they...
Multiplayer game.
They've mainly stayed away from main Metroid for a very long time. It's been the Wii U did not have a single Metroid release on it, other than maybe Fusion. I don't know if that was a 3DS or if that was also Wii U. I can't remember, but really didn't have anything. 3DS really hasn't had a good Metroid game on it as well. Like I said, maybe Fusion, but nothing in the main story of Samus and everything else. Nothing mm-hmm. there. So it's just been a while since we've gotten anything core Metroid.
Okay.
And according to some opinions, it's Metroid Prime 4 doesn't even cover that. It still doesn't cover core Metroid for some people. So But for me, I'm happy to see that we're getting Metroid Prime 4, and I'll look forward to what they're going to do with that. It's a completely different developer. They're not using the developer that did Prime 1, Prime 2, and I think even Prime 3.
Was it not Rare?
It was actually Retro.
Retro.
The name of the studio was called Retro Developers. And so they're not working on it this time. I don't know who is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not Team Ninja who did Other M.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what we're getting out of this. But we got a title. We know it's being worked on. So that's exciting enough for me to hold me over till we hear more. So yeah, that was Nintendo's. And of course, when they did do the Treehouse thing, they did show off the Metroid Prime 3DS game. I don't know when that's coming out. I think that's relatively soon, actually. I think there's a date for that, but I can't remember what it was.
Hamanunuzi, I don't see it immediately, but
yeah. So there was E3 for you, which is good because we got to go here. Hey, Multal, thanks again for the video.
Yeah. Oh no, 100%. Anytime, give me a shout.
And thank you so much for calling in. If you can say one thing that the most exciting thing out of E3 altogether that you saw, what would it be?
People are supporting their products. That's about it. Like, again, there's so little gameplay. It doesn't have me excited at all. If someone was just like for example, if we had Monster Hunter, if someone came out on stage and was just like, we're gonna sit down for 20 minutes and just play some Monster Hunter, mm-hmm. and you saw them die over and over again, same boss or something, that would have me excited. But E3 is not for me. I do enjoy watching it to a certain degree. But you know what? Nintendo Switch has made a good showing for me to try and buy the console, but not just yet, but very, very close for me buying it. But yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, appreciate it again. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Excellent.
Take
care. Enjoy yourselves. See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care now.
And might as well want to thank everybody else. Did any of you guys have any favorites? Any one favorite thing from E3?
My bottle of Honey Jack.
RJ?
Only thing really interesting to me right now is Wolfenstein 2. Yes. That's pretty much
Wolfenstein.
Pretty much got me looking forward to that one.
I mean, I knew I was going to be looking forward to Battlefront 2. I mean, that was just a given, you know, for me. So,
yeah, that's true.
New Colossus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say excitement there for New Colossus. Odyssey, because I have the system. So I'm interested in playing that Mario Odyssey. Mm-hmm.
Metro. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
That was one I did not expect.
Date on Metro?
Metro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Metro, I don't remember what it's called. The new Metro game. You look that up while I tell everybody thanks for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and on the radio as well. Thanks to everybody who gets us each week from iTunes. We really appreciate that. Go to ingamechat.net. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're watching us on Twitch. Subscribe there as well. If you're on Steam, join our Steam group. If you're on PS4, we've got a community there. If you're on Xbox One or Xbox, we've got a group there as well. That you can play games with us and other listeners. So thanks, everybody. Everyone who hangs out, thank you again, Motal. And have a great week. What was the date? Did you find the date?
Lethal Migraine says, it just says 2018. That's
2018. All right.
Metro have a good, Exodus.
Have a good week, and we'll see you guys next Saturday. Here is music from Dead Cells. It's called The Black Bridge. We'll see you next Saturday.